I want to dance with somebody.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
This is the moment we've all been waiting for. Hmm?
Andy Dirt Johnson.
Step up, son.
You're 2 pounds heavier than when you came to camp, but we can fix that. All we have to do is decrease his food intake and increase his metabolic output. All right, step on the scale, son. Muscle weighs more than fat.
And Brandon Sprague.
7-minute abs, and we guarantee just as good a workout as the 8-minute, folk. You're not happy with the first 7 minutes. We're going to send you the extra minute free. See, that's it. That's our motto.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Maybe at the end of the show, we'll both take our clothes off, you, Armani, and me, mine, and we'll just give it to the audience. What do you think?
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your weekends went great. Some had a better weekend than others, but we're here and we're parceling through all of it that transpired over the last 48 hours.
Any other sports fans in sports hell right now? Is this a tough time for anybody else? All my teams are terrible.
I would say an actual Jets fan's probably in sports hell. Like, your team still sucks and they traded for Devontae Adams and that didn't fix anything. They gave up 37 points to Russell Wilson.
My gambling producer
what
is a Mets Jets fan.
Oh, God. See,
yesterday
that's a pretty rough weekend.
Brutal.
Poor Zach.
Pretty rough weekend right there.
Yeah, indeed.
That's not easy, man. Not easy out there. Let's get to a couple of NFL notes because we have not talked about the NFL yet. Are we just going to hand them the trophy now or do we need to play out the rest of the season? There is a quarterback out there. Here's a fun trivia question for you. You ready for this? Who has accounted for more touchdowns and fewer interceptions this year, Bo Nix or Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, probably Bo Nix with why you're asking me that.
More touchdowns and fewer interceptions than Patrick Mahomes, who threw two more yesterday.
They won that game easily, and he was terrible
yes.
in that game. He had a 59% completion percentage.
Also, we need to do something about quarterbacks running. He did the Kenny Pickett thing along the sideline.
The fake slide.
The whole, I'm going to go out of bounds. And then, no, I'm not going out of bounds. But if you breathe on him 1 yard out of bounds, he flops like Nikola Jokic and complains like he's been physically assaulted. We need to get to a point with running quarterbacks where if you run the football and you're a running back. We can hit you however we want to hit you. Mm-hmm. If you want to curl up in the fetal position and lay on the ground, that's fine. It's driving me nuts watching that.
Yeah, if I was a coach, I would tell somebody, look, go at him as if you're going to hit him on the sideline, and until you see him hit the white, you level his ass.
And then the one time where his foot's like slightly out of bounds and you hit him, and then it's an extra 15
if his
yards.
His body's like half out.
Oh, it was out of bounds.
Whoa, it's like he's out of bounds. Yeah,
we got to do something about that. Bo Nix has more touchdowns and fewer interceptions than Patrick Mahomes this year.
I think he's the MVP favorite right now in Vegas, too.
He was 16 of 27 for 154 yards, two picks. He averaged 5.7 yards per attempt.
They need a key drive in a playoff game or a Super Bowl, everybody's going to pick him to come up clutch in that. So this is not like an entire indictment. The fact is, in Kansas City, last year and so far this year, they are winning this because their best player is Chris Jones.
Yes, their defense is legit.
Spags owns, and I cannot emphasize this enough, owns Kyle Shanahan.
It also doesn't help that both teams had basically all of their weapons out and were playing third, fourth, fifth string wide receivers.
Yeah, Debo sick, couldn't really play, and Ayuk suffered an ACL injury, which is going to end one of the worst years by a guy that just signed a massive contract. Look, I said this going into the year. The Niners were due for a bad season. Now, they could be 9-8. 8-9.
Division's wide open, buddy.
But it's not. They've lost to Arizona and the Rams already. Seattle won. They're kind of behind the eight ball in a way. So I don't know who's going to win that crappy division, but it's crappy. They're due for this. Kansas City is doing all of this without Mahomes being elite.
Yep.
I know he's elite, but he's not being elite. And so I just look at this and I chuckle and I go, I can't wait for all the gambling bros. And I'll throw me and Will in this because we do shows on the BetQL Network. All the gambling bros in January. I don't like this spot. I'm taking the Bills plus the 3.5 on the road at Kansas City. Kansas City's offense. Beat the books. And then they're going to lose because they're going to lie to themselves. They're going to lie to everybody that does a show that they listen to their shows for. Good luck. Good luck. They're the best team in football.
It's not going to happen. Nobody's beating Kansas City this year.
They look hungry to three-peat.
Yeah, it's alarming because they're winning games and their offense is so bad sometimes. So bad. Like, And to be fair to Mahomes, they have no. I mean, all of their guys are out too. I mean, Sky Moore is now a guy you're trying to rely on the outside. Like, that's who you're left with. Travis Kelce has definitely lost a step. Now he's going to have a 100-yard game when he needs to the most.
You wait for the playoff games.
He will
come up big again.
He has one catch a game where you're like, all right, there was a nice play, Travis Kelce. Other than that, he just kind of looks fat and slow, and he just meanders around the field.
This is NFL load management, though.
Yes,
this is how they load manage in the NFL.
And they're 6-0. They're load managing, and they're 6-0. They can't be beat, man.
Mahomes has been terrible.
It's unbelievable. Purdy had a rough day yesterday. The Chiefs win again. They're 6-0 on the season. Wow. 10 a.m. slate lived up to the hype. Two biggest games outside of San Fran and KC this weekend were Houston and Green Bay. Awesome game, came down to a game-winning field goal. And then the Minnesota and Detroit game, Minnesota jumps out on them early. Here comes Detroit. Oh, God, they're going to run away with it. And then Minnesota's back in the game. And same thing with basically, 15 seconds left, Detroit kicks a game-winning field goal. It was nice at least to have that set, that all lived up. Like, the Niner-KC game was terrible. That was just not a very enjoyable game to watch. Those two games were a lot of fun. 10 a.m. window was awesome yesterday.
Yeah, and it got chippy with Houston, Green Bay before the game started with Diggs and Nixon.
Yeah.
And then look, Love, see, I hate this quarterback being a stat, the game-winning drive thing. Like, the kicker had to make like a 55-yarder to win the game. When like Love had to go do a whole lot. I didn't think he was very good in this game. They won this because of their run game.
I thought both quarterbacks really struggled.
Well,
Stroud was not good yesterday at all.
Stroud was not very good. Jordan Love he's a little problematic. He throws too many interceptions for my liking.
He's turnover happy guy.
He's
Brett Favre.
There is a little bit to that. And so, like, I picked Green Bay to win the NFC. We'll see if that's going to come to fruition. That was a good win for them.
Fun division, man. The Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota, and Chicago's playing a little bit better lately. Fun division.
Chicago's got a big game. We'll get to see Tampa Bay tonight hosting Baltimore, and Lamar's amazing against the NFC. On the other side of it, Lions-Vikings. Man, the Vikings are not going anywhere. That's a good team. Their one problem is they start out really well, and then they kind of stumble their way the rest of the game. They kill everybody in the first quarter, and then after that, they go through their struggles.
Scripted offense is solid. After that, they go a little clunky.
And that's kind of, I think, where the Darnold stuff gets shaky, and O'Connell, with the good defense and Flores, is able to kind of piece together and have the start they had. Good, gritty win by the Lions. They were down 10-0 in this game.
Yep.
They did blow two 11-point leads in it. And how funny was it that the spread of this game was 1.5?
And it came down to a 2-point conversion.
And Minnesota missed the 2-pointer, and we're down 1. And I'm like, this is the only scenario this happens. That's a good win for Detroit.
I thought I got a miracle on my Minnesota bet when they got that scoop and score in the fourth quarter, and then they didn't get the 2-point conversion. And I'm like, wait a minute, what was the line? 1.5? No!
I put a couple more units than usual on the Lions, plus 1.5, so I was like really angry with that Montgomery fumble, but that was a great football game, man. Felt like playoff football.
It was. Seattle out of nowhere just blowing out Atlanta. Hello. Okay, we all saw that coming.
We kind of did. We talked about it on Friday.
I know.
Stupid. Atlanta plays dumb games every week.
They do. I didn't see 34-14 coming. Like that. You know, you tell me Atlanta's in a one-possession game with Seattle, I'm not surprised at all by that. You went in there and won by 20.
Everyone's healthy. We're back. D-line's back. Championship back on. Playoffs back on.
Back above 500.
Got some Penix action in this game.
Yeah, we did. A little Penix action late.
It was late in that one, but that was a good road win for Seattle. I want to quickly highlight, I think Goff in his last four is 4-0. 83% completion percentage. The Jared Goff MVP thing has to be real. If any other quarterback that you love, an Allen, a Mahomes, a Lamar, a Herbert, if any of those names are doing what he's doing, I'm not sure he isn't the favorite, and yet he's not the favorite.
Totally fair.
His numbers are valid. It's not all Jared Goff winning these games, but that's how this works in that league. That's a quarterback award. He is as deserving to be in the front running of that conversation as any other player in the NFL.
Yeah, the only other guy that I would put in the conversation with him, honestly, right now, is a guy who's completing like 80% of his passes, doesn't have a turnover, 1-0 on the year. How about the GOAT getting in yesterday, shredding Carolina? Hello, Marcus. Good to see you, buddy.
Did you guys break your curse?
Mario threw a touchdown.
The pass to Ertz.
Yes, the last time Oregon was ranked number one, Zach Ertz was out of bounds, yet they called it a touchdown anyways. Mariota throwing a touchdown pass to Zach Ertz has broken the curse. It's over. The chains have been unlocked. He played really well. Carolina's
like
terrible.
Shout out Buffalo and Washington. I put them in a two-team teaser thinking, oh, this is going to get wrecked. Nope, they handled their business pretty easily. That was great.
Buffalo, a little shaky early. You're like, oh, God, are we not showing up at all today?
10-7 at the half.
And they ran off like 34 unanswered points.
By the way, these are your MVP favorites right now on DraftKings.
Yeah, who do we got?
Mahomes is plus 350. He's the favorite.
Yeah, I
don't get it.
What are we doing here? He's great. Nobody doubts his ability, but stop it. He's not the MVP of the league.
Allen and Lamar tied for second at 5-1. Goff is third. 8-1. Stroud is 8-1. Love is 13. Then Daniels, Darnold, Burrow, and we'll see with Purdy, but I can't imagine he's on this.
I feel like it's got to come from that next trio of quarterbacks. Unless Mahomes wakes up, he's got more interceptions than touchdowns.
His numbers are not good.
Not going to win you an MVP. Yeah. It's got to come from that trio of Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, or Jared Goff. That to me is where it has to come from right
now. That's a good poll question. Would you take the trio or Mahomes? What do we do here if these are Mahomes' numbers and they, like...
He can't win an MVP. He can win another Super Bowl because their defense is that good and it might carry him all the way. To say he's the MVP is laughable.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that.
You can't do that. He's going to win another Lombardi, but he should not win an MVP this year.
I think three people deserve the MVP on the Chiefs before Mahomes. Chris Jones, Spags, Andy Reid. Then Mahomes, you want.
Where does Taylor Swift rank in your power rankings?
She should be top four, too.
She top five?
Yeah, top five, definitely.
Yeah, probably top five.
The energy and enthusiasm that they bring every game.
They don't do this without Swift a couple years ago.
No. Is she the Penn State of your top five rankings for the Chiefs? Next at 8:15.
God. Speaking of the NFL, how about talking about a individual being a stand-up human off the field? And should we feel bad? Would you have booed? How about that question? 503-864-6326. We'll dive into that next. I want to get back into some college football stuff at the bottom of the hour, including a fan finally eating poop. That happened, and there was a video of it. We still got a lot to get to. We're back after this on The Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
A couple thoughts at the Vancouver Ford text line. Let's not forget when the Chiefs beat the Ravens weren't rocking like they are now, and they picked up dudes. I think this is the year that the Ravens get past them. Another one.
Ravens had the best record in football last year.
They did. Another one said, you guys don't think the Ravens or Lions could beat them in an AFC playoff game or Super Bowl? Like, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just not going to pick it to happen. I hope it happens. I'm rooting like hell against them, but I'm just not going to pick it.
I think the thing for me is not that it's impossible. We've had people suggest that is because of the tone we set with it. It's just like, have you watched him? He's not playing well, and yet if he needs a drive, you know he's going to come up with it.
Yes.
And the defense is, like, elite. Elite.
Yes.
I had people in my mentions telling me Zach Allen was better than Chris Jones 3 weeks ago. He's not even, like, top 10 in PFF metrics in some regard. Chris Jones is Aaron Donald.
Yes.
He is Aaron Donald. He will wreck a game single-handedly. So it's not that, like, they can't be beat. The Bengals and Burrow did it a couple years back. It's just that, like, people acting all confident this year when the playoffs roll around because they're trying to find value in gambling, they're lying to you. Don't do it. Good luck to you. I hope they get beat. It would make the sport better.
Yes, it would.
But he's not even playing well, and they're undefeated.
Oh, it's so frustrating. Would you have cheered if you were in Cleveland yesterday? Deshaun Watson went down. Anybody watching on television immediately knew it was a ruptured Achilles. They've announced, by the way, it is. So he's going to be out not only the rest of this year, but he's going to miss a chunk of next season as well. So his career's over. It's done.
Well, not the contract.
The contract isn't, but his career in the end, like, he's never going to play again. I don't see why you would ever put him back in, and no team is going to give him a chance after this. That's my hot take of the day. Deshaun Watson's done. He's toast. It's never going to happen again. Would you have cheered if you were in the crowd?
I would have wanted to cheer, yes. I would have hated them picking him up in general once the stuff came out before he even played. I found this interesting. So I listened to the Cleveland radio on the way in, and I felt their tone was weird. They kind of took the player side a little bit.
What are we doing?
It's more like, no, it wasn't everybody. And I'm like, it should have been.
Should have been.
Now, would they have also cheered for him had he been good? Yeah, they would have.
Yeah.
But why are you almost like kind of trying to like say it wasn't everybody? It should have been everybody.
Yeah.
The minute I saw that thing pop on the replay, I clapped and I laughed and I said, hell yeah. Screw that guy.
I would have given that Achilles a standing ovation, man. I would have cheered the rest of the game.
Well, he got booed reportedly in the starting lineup.
Yes, as he should. He sucks.
So what are we debating here?
And he's a horrible human being.
The players defending him is a different thing. the fans and like debating whether this is right or wrong. You know what's not right? His off-field conduct.
Sexually assaulting women's not all right. Jameis Winston after the game went in, so did Myles Garrett. Here's what he said.
No one deserves that. I've seen him work his ass off to, you know, get back here, in here, and you know, put a smile on his face and, you know, try to put everything that's outside the facility behind him. No death threats. People come to his house. People, going after his family. No, like I said, no one deserves that. And I hate using the word deserves. I'm usually, you know, pretty consistent saying earned. He hadn't earned it, and he doesn't deserve it. No, man does pretty much everything right. He's been a model citizen through college and most of the pros. He plays the game as hard as anyone I've seen. Puts everything on the line. Willing to throw his body out there, and he plays the game at 100 miles per hour. And there's a risk of being injured, and that he took that risk. But we have to be there for him as a team, as an organization. We can't look down on a guy because of any mistakes on the field or anything off the field. You know, we don't have anything. We don't have any more high ground to look down on a guy.
But I thought he didn't have mistakes off the field a second ago.
Yeah, I thought. We can't look down on a guy with 25 civil lawsuits filed against him.
Look, I will say this.
Dozens of different women.
His teammates, they're kind of put in an impossible situation here. The organization, in some regard, not counting the owner and the GM who wanted him, they're kind of put in an impossible situation. You're in a locker room with this guy. You know, it's a weird spot to be. It's kind of it's not the same. But, like, I just think these guys are put in a weird spot in general.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
But also, don't tell me he's been a model citizen off the field. And then, like, kind of end it with even some stuff on and off the field. Like, what are you talking about? There's a way to do this without having to fully do it.
You just say, hey, look, we didn't appreciate the fact that he was booed. We loved him as a teammate. He worked his tail off every day, and we feel horrible for him that he's going through this. End of story. Move on. To have to come out and act like he has been through hell because of what he's had to deal with?
Yeah.
Seriously, the guy with the richest guaranteed contract in NFL history, who has had 25 different lawsuits filed against him, and we're supposed to feel bad because he's faced some vitriol from fans? You know who should feel bad? The women that he has sexually assaulted. 25 different lawsuits, all of which, outside of the one that was just filed last month, he has settled out of court. Like, what are we doing? Like, to come out and say he's a model citizen, man, this is already a scumbag organization for all of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not going to support the fans too much because they would have absolutely cheered him if he was good. And the day that the trade went down, I'll never forget going to Cleveland for the Daily Ticker and a guy who we had on a month earlier being like, oh, we don't want nothing to do with this guy. The day they traded for him came on and was like, well, you know, some people deserve a second chance. Like, it was that quick, their pivot. So I'm not going to defend them, but this is ridiculous.
They were wearing jerseys that said, like, it didn't count or it wasn't him.
Right.
Don't, like, they were doing if the glove doesn't fit, don't acquit to Deshaun Watson. And so I don't feel bad for them either, but I don't feel bad, like, for Deshaun Watson. You should be booed.
Yes.
You're a horrible human being.
You can't a horrible quarterback, too.
You can't play this game because this isn't how the world works, but you just can't help but go back. And I'm sure they don't do this in Cleveland anymore because it's kind of an annoying game they've played. You know, if they let Baker just sit out with a shoulder injury instead of, like, making him feel like he has to play to earn a contract, you kind of just wonder, because we know they've got talent.
Yeah, not a bad team.
They could have won that game yesterday.
They could have. They gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown. Yeah. Chubb's back from his injury. Like,
Cincinnati was beatable yesterday.
Yes, they were.
And, you know, Baker's also, by the way, talking about MVP, he's got a chance tonight if he has a good game. You look back and go, maybe if we would have handled the Baker stuff right, we wouldn't have been in such a weird, bad position. Karma.
I also don't get the bit, like, the Jameis Winston stuff, who, by the way, his comments were horrific as well. Like, he wasn't even active yesterday. DTR's their backup. They're going to roll, I would
There's reporting that
with him.
He may, like, not have known he was the backup till Friday, which is the last practice day of the week.
Seems legit.
That whole organization is not handling things right.
There were calls for Winston to be the starter, and so, like, the tinfoil hat thing is he got moved to the emergency QB because he does come in because DTR
came
gets
in
hurt
at the end,
and he throws the last touchdown. The tinfoil hat theory is that he was moved so that fans would stop doing this and calling for him to replace Watson, which is ironic in the long run.
If there's a medical out here, they're going to take it, because you're right.
There's not. He's going to get every penny of this contract.
His career should be done, but that's why I'm like, I don't know about that, man. They might have, he might at least be in a uniform on the sidelines in 2 years. Or his contract is like fully guaranteed.
Yeah, you're not getting out of the deal. He's 29 years old. He's going to turn 30 the start of next season. He's going to miss how much time next year? Because
it's Achilles, the second or third season-ending injury he's had, right?
Yeah, I mean, they take 9-10 months at least, right? If you're optimistic. I guess depends on the total.
Cam Akers came back in 5.
Rodgers was going to play last year, don't you remember?
Yeah, he was, yeah. After a month, he was going to play again.
To the dolphin
next year. He is guaranteed 72.9 is the cap hit. The year after that is the year he could return. That's also 72.9.
Yeah.
And then it is a void season.
Yeah. At the end of the deal. Finally, they can get out of it.
So 2027 is the year they can fully get out of it, but he's going to be paid next year and the year after that.
That's my take out of that. I think he's done. He's not good enough to begin with. Not worth the headache. He sucks, and he is out for the rest of the year. And I guess good for the Cleveland fans who cheered him when he got traded there, but now are booing him when he went down. Let's get back into a couple college football notes. Well, eating the dog poop finally turned the franchise around for one college program. Some other wild, wonky finishes this weekend. We'll dive into all of it, including a couple of AP notes that are interesting. Coming up next, but first, here's Will with SportsCenter.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
I get to a couple of college football notes for you. A few things that aren't really segment worthy, but just noteworthy from the weekend.
I'm starving.
Yeah, it's that time of morning. Somebody's got to bring in a breakfast burrito.
Oh, brought to you by whoever wants to bring in a breakfast burrito.
Florida State lost to Duke for the first time in the history of their program.
Dookie,
that had never happened. And another fan, because the original Florida State fan who said he would eat poop if we lose to Boston College and then didn't eat the poop.
Deleted all his accounts.
He deleted everything. Another fan said, if we lose to Duke, I will eat poop. And there was a video of a guy.
Yeah.
He walked up to dog poop in a park.
Are we sure?
I mean,
because I didn't see the dog do it.
No, he said, can I pick up your dog's poop? And the person was like, yeah. And then he picked up the poop and he ate the poop.
Yeah.
If it's actual poop.
I don't buy it. I need to see the dog pooping and see you do it to believe it.
They came in 20-0 against Duke, and in that 20-0 run, only one game was a one-possession game.
And this is a season from hell, man. What are they, 1-6?
They're now 1-6 on the year.
1-6.
That is not good, Bob. That is not good. Alabama has 2 losses through their first 7 games. That happened once under Nick Saban, his first season in 2007.
Yeah, DeBoer didn't sound like somebody with a lot of confidence afterwards. He said, we are not a joined team? We're really all
still
off.
Still meshing. We're trying to mesh together. We're trying to figure it out.
My Milroe Heisman take is gone. You can throw that in the trash. He is awful. He has not been good at all. There was an article that said, should he stay another year or go to the NFL draft? I'm like, don't go to the NFL if you're going to play like that.
He became the first Alabama quarterback since John Parker Wilson in 2007 to throw multiple interceptions in consecutive games.
Yeah, maybe the U-Haul to your ass guy, maybe he should actually call in.
We'll send a U-Haul to your ass.
And apologize to John Parker Wilson, because he cited John Parker Wilson as not a good quarterback. I've seen Jalen Milroe now for 3 weeks. He's not either.
No, he was great against Georgia running around making plays. He has not been very good since then.
He's not going to get fired, DeBoer.
No.
They're pissed. They're not happy. I don't know if they're going to win an... How many more games will they win this year?
Their schedule is pretty manageable, so they got that going for them.
Yeah, but you know what? They should have lost to South Carolina.
They lost
to Vandy.
You're not wrong.
And they should have been up 21-0 on Tennessee. They were up 7-0. They don't look good at all.
They got Missouri at home this weekend. I don't think Missouri's very good, but to your point, South Carolina damn near beat them at home.
Yep.
They got a bye, and then they go on the road to LSU.
I don't think you're feeling confident right now on that
one.
No,
I wouldn't. And then the rest of your schedule is Mercer at home. That's a win. And then at Oklahoma, home against Auburn.
And Oklahoma's terrible.
Oklahoma's a dumpster. Auburn was last year and damn near beat them in the Iron Bowl anyway. So the Iron Bowl is always kind of funky. One of those rivalries that, to give the cliche, you throw the records out. But
I'm just saying, they look like an 8-4 team.
They do.
Very mid football team. And it's like DeBoer's going to have a lot of soul searching to do this offseason.
To add on top of that, Caleb Odom is one of their 5-star wide receivers, true freshman. He was retweeting things after the game that said this: Jalen Milroe chose to throw the ball to Ryan Williams instead of Caleb Odom on that one. Thought he would have chose the taller wideout. Another one he retweeted, like, why do not throw the fade route to Caleb Odom? You know, the wide receiver that's 6'5", 230 pounds. So when you have players retweeting that immediately after the game in the locker room, also not a very good sign. Can I give a quick tip of the cap? Oh, by the way, they also had two wide receivers who did the, do you see the jump shot thing that they did on a quarterback sneak that made everybody livid? They had a 3rd-and-1, I want to say it was. No, 4th-and-1 late in that game. They gave Milroe the first down. I thought it was a questionable spot. They gave it to him, whatever. On the outside of the play, the two wide receivers, instead of doing anything at the snap of the ball, just jumped up and did an air jump shot. And it was like, what? Why would you just have two more tight ends in there to push the pile? Like, what are you doing?
I was going to say, to be fair, like, what were those wide receivers going to do? I mean, like, if they block the corners, is that going to make the difference between whether you go
if you're
going
to go quarterback sneak, like, don't go, just go get more guys to push.
But Dirt, it looks sick from the sideline photo.
I don't think he got it. And it would have been hilarious if they didn't get that and those guys were doing that on the perimeter. So that was a whole other thing. Can I give a quick tip of the cap to the job that is being done right now at Florida? They blew out Kentucky this weekend.
Florida's kind of turned around a little bit. Were they 4-3 now?
They're 4-3. DJ Lagway is playing really good. Like, he's airing
Napier
it out.
Napier may have saved his job.
They dominated Kentucky this weekend. Like, we all made fun of them. And so,
who did they dominate 2 weeks ago?
I pulled up.
Well, they almost beat Tennessee. I know
they should have. I mean, they were damn near close. That's the only game that they've lost.
They beat somebody a couple weeks ago.
Mississippi State, maybe?
They blew out Mississippi State. They beat UCF at home by 10.
It was the UCF win, and then they almost
lost to Tennessee and then Kentucky.
Almost beat Tennessee. Hey, they would have beat Tennessee, man. Look, Napier probably wasn't going to get fired financially, but
no.
He's at least got something to point to with Lagway and say, hey, you know, all things considered, being 6-6, 7-5 with that schedule, pretty good.
This happened on Friday night.
Happy feet. Downfield. Broken tackle. Lassiter. Touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Titans to Talkies, man. I don't know how they won that game.
They had no business winning that game.
Oklahoma State.
I watched that entire thing. They had no business winning that game.
Oklahoma State actually looked like the team we all talked about preseason in this
one. They did. They were running the ball.
But that defense to just, and I think it was 3 or 4 missed tackles on that final touchdown.
Yeah, he caught it around the 10-yard line.
That was the last play of the game.
Yeah, there's less than 10 seconds to go. That was a horrific loss for Mike Gundy.
You can see me on the postgame show jump up when it happens.
He's like,
they have me on video. Like, it's, I think Jordan's reading traffic and weather presented by Victor Ecos, and then it's me in my bright pink hoodie, and I jump up really fast, and my hat falls off, so then everyone learns I'm bald.
BYU, I don't think, is the best team in that conference, but so far, undefeated, and sometimes you have magic happen, and magic definitely happened for them on Friday.
Iowa State doesn't look great.
I still think Kansas State plays them again, they'll win. Kansas State had some flubs that made that a blowout.
Yes.
I still think Kansas State is the best team in that conference.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. And Iowa State, who was also undefeated, had the same ending of their game where they were playing Central Florida at home, and that they threw a pick six, and the guy dropped the ball at the 1 yard line.
Yeah,
they ended up winning the game with a touchdown with less than a minute to go. They should have lost that game. Both of them should have. The Big 12 is fascinating this year because if this continues, they're going to end up getting two bids, and Iowa State and BYU are nowhere near top 10 teams in the country.
You don't think Iowa State is?
No, I don't. I think Iowa State's an awesome story.
What about Kansas State?
I'm rooting like hell. I don't think Kansas State is either.
Really?
I think they're fine. I don't.
You think we have enough teams to conclude that they're not?
Who in the top 10 on a neutral site would I pick them to beat? And I don't know if there's anybody that stands out to me.
Iowa State's only hope is like their defense has to play amazing and they can't turn the ball over. That's why they struggled on Saturday.
Yeah.
Avery Johnson has these moments where he's like, wow, he's awesome.
Yeah, and then he has moments horrific. Where it's like,
what you doing? The BYU game is a perfect example.
Yeah. These teams can beat Penn State. I've seen Penn State.
Okay. I guess Penn State's...
Miami just gave up 45 to Louisville, and that was controversial.
Yeah.
Tennessee has not looked great. You don't sound like you trust LSU a whole... I'm just saying,
I would
like
take LSU to beat all three of those
teams. I'm saying you might be right.
BYU has beaten nobody this year.
Well, BYU...
What's Iowa State's best win this year?
Iowa.
Probably Iowa.
Iowa.
Yeah. Who's not?
What happened to Iowa this weekend?
They lost to Jonathan Smith and
Aiden
Childs.
And Aiden Childs in Michigan State.
I think Kansas State is the best team in that conference.
I don't disagree with that take, but I'm not picking any of those teams to win a playoff game. How about that?
I just don't look at Miami and Penn State and like shaking That's my fair. Boots. That's I think fair. They can lose to either team. The underrated one in this, and I don't think they've got a chance to get to the conference championship. You know, I know it's not always fun to talk about because it's been talked about so much. What Colorado is doing,
it's an awesome story.
They smoked Arizona.
They're not bad.
They're not bad.
They're
not
good bad. Defensively.
They should have beaten Kansas State. They blew that game.
Yep. They also should have lost to Baylor, though. So if you're going to play the shit-up game, you go either way. They won that game on a Hail Mary.
My point is, they're 5 wins. I think their over-under's 5.5. So they're 1 game away from hitting the over and being a bowl team again.
Yes, they are.
And you kind of play the schedule game with the Buffaloes in primetime. Cincinnati this weekend's going to be a win. Texas Tech is winnable. I've seen that. Utah's a disaster.
Yes, they
Kansas
are.
Is a disaster. Yeah. And Oklahoma State is a disaster.
Yeah, they could run the table.
They could run the table and win 10 games, potentially.
Do you believe?
Somebody had a great tweet this weekend.
I will if he wins 10 games.
Basically, like last year when he didn't deserve any of the credit or attention, all we gave him was credit and attention. And now that he's actually like...
He's not getting as much.
They're five. Nobody's talking about them. And they're 5. They're winning games this year.
They're like, still not that... Like, they're not that good. The conference is just
It's
so
the conference.
Much
the Big 12.
It is the conference.
This would be the thing that killed... It would kill me as an Oregon State
fan.
No,
don't do it. I've talked about it enough.
It's the Big 12 is
we
the
know.
Big 12 is a bad
I know.
Conference.
I know.
Bad
I'd have
conference.
My head coach still, and Aiden yes. Childs would be my quarterback,
you
and I'd have
it.
All the dudes on defense. Yeah. I know. Okay. I'm well aware.
That I just reminded you.
I'm
can't even
well
do
aware.
Math. It's Big 12. There's more than 12 teams.
There are more than 12 teams in that conference.
We're bad at math.
What happened to Nebraska this weekend?
Oh, buddy, that was ugly.
They
Speaking of which, Indiana's
man.
Quarterback's going to be out this weekend, likely. Curtis Rourke. They're hosting game day this weekend with the Huskies coming to town, and he is expected to miss the Washington game this weekend.
Matt Rhule in the hot seat?
That's only a 5-point line. No, he's not on the hot seat. He's not.
I saw some friends from Omaha. Some people
they were Twitter. Dealing with it. Nebraska fan needs to take a deep breath, dude. They're 5-2 in year 2. He's going to get him to a bowl game. That was an embarrassing game. I also watched a good chunk of it, and it was like, Pate does this a lot, where games are decided. 7s and 3s is how you score in football, and it's very easy for a game to get lopsided.
A lot of 7s in that one.
I mean, it's going to happen again this weekend. Indiana's not that good of a team, and I will die on that hill.
9 Indiana? How
I will die
you?
On that hill. When they lose to Washington this weekend, which will happen, we'll talk about it next week.
You're attacking.
They're not. Well, you're also sick. Picking him to lose the weekend that they just lost their quarterback.
Get your starting quarterback
Where
back.
Was this take last weekend?
They will lose by 60 to Ohio State. Book it.
Mark that
mark
down.
That down right now. Okay. I mean, that's a little aggressive, but what the hell? Let's run.
You have two tough games on that schedule.
They will lose by 60.
And one of those tough games we're going to say is Michigan.
Indiana is fraudulent, and I'm so upset that
they might be 11 Indiana.
What is your beef with Indiana?
I don't have any beef with them.
Like alphabetically ahead of you in the standings?
No, that's not any of it.
It's the stupid pants, isn't it?
It's the stupid pants. It's the
Cignetti,
it's
baby.
Stupid coach. Google me, bitch. Like you bring in your guys for 1 year.
Oh, your coach said Google me. Awesome.
Get out of here, Indiana.
It.
Whatever.
I hope that I'm wrong on Indiana.
An Indiana hater.
There is nothing I would enjoy more than playing them in a Big Ten championship game.
That is the most random hate we could have had on a Monday.
If
Indiana.
You give me Indiana in a Big Ten title game, are you kidding me?
Indiana football.
What would the line between Oregon and Indiana be? Right now,
probably Oregon minus 21.5
at least,
the same as it now, is with Illinois because Illinois is 21.5.
Now,
right
here
now.
It is, yeah. Will. Indiana what is you're seeing, Illinois. You haven't seen this probably ever in your brief history here at the fan.
Three
what
years.
You're seeing right now, this is Nebraska Cornhusker fan Andy Dirt Johnson now puffing the chest out that Indiana's not very
it's a
good.
Cute one season. Mel Tucker had this in Michigan State, and then they lost by 70 to Ohio State. And how'd that turn out for him?
I don't think he's the same as
Tuck. I don't think this is the same
okay.
as Tucker
I don't think people are saying Sig coming.
Nebraska lost by what, 49 this weekend?
56-7 was
show
the final.
Me a Mel Tucker win close to that.
They intercepted
Mel Tucker
Rayola
win?
Yeah,
times.
In that dream season I mean, you're talking about, show me one close to that. Nebraska's good.
They're good.
They're a 7-5 team. That's, with a good defense, and they lost 56-7.
Yes, a 7-5 team.
I'm just saying.
All right. File it away.
Cornhusker
File it
Andy.
Away. File it away. Bring
mom,
it on, Indiana.
Your mom must be so happy right now.
Bobby Knight, throw those chairs across the floor.
Gets
we're not
ranked
scared of you.
Once, and now look at him.
You're a relevant football program. Shaking in our boots. Oh, no. You got game day coming. You're going to lose the Huskies this weekend. Mark it down. Hey, let's wrap it up. Monday Night Football. It's not a doubleheader, but there are two games next on the Fan.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan. Spread your love, I fly.
comment on YouTube. Indiana did beat Oregon in 2004 at Autzen. I was there. I know. I was there.
Maybe that's the 04 anger coming out. I see it.
Blossoming for 20 years.
I don't think anybody tries to claim that Indiana's realistically going to win the conference, and it's very bad timing that their quarterback gets hurt the weekend game day's going there for the Washington game.
I know. Look, it's a fun story.
They're maybe the story of college football, the way it's turned around for them.
I would like to give more attention and credit to the service academies. You know who Indiana played in non-conference this year?
Probably nobody good.
Charlotte.
Charlotte, yeah, Charlotte.
How many years? Like a Western Illinois or something?
Yeah, there was a Western Illinois in there.
Dude, look at me.
Yes, there was. Can you want to guess the last one?
Insider.
The last one? Who was the third non-conference win?
I don't know.
Okay, but how many games is Indiana that team on somebody else's non-conference schedule? And now they're not.
Maybe you should be.
They score points. I don't know.
Schedule like a big boy, Signetti. Google me, bitch. Why don't you schedule a game that matters? Their Big Ten wins are against UCLA, Maryland, Northwestern, and Nebraska.
Why don't you ask USC and Rutgers about those teams?
Two really bad teams.
They lost to those teams. I just give Indiana a little love.
Screw Indiana, dude. Monday night doubleheader that's not a doubleheader. Are we excited? We got two games tonight.
Well, I'm excited because I've got units on the Chargers minus the 1.5, so that line's dropped.
I'm going to put some money on the Ravens tonight, too.
Yeah, the Ravens are just so good.
I like Lamar's history against the NFC. Love me some Baker.
Dog is always a little feisty.
He is. He's a feisty dog. There's no doubt about that. Just wanted to finish the show spicy. You started it spicy. I wanted to finish it spicy.
It's a number one Monday for you. Your team's number one.
Damn right we are, bitch.
Congratulations.
Yankees or Dodgers, who are you rooting for? Dodgers, 58% right now. Only four teams that can win the title. 56% of you say yes. Bigger curse breaker this weekend. Mario had a touchdown pass to Ertz. One over eating dog poop.
Wow.
And John Mohner's a duck hater. There is the responses to the poll question. That will do it for us, folks. Thanks for being a part of our Monday. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel. If you missed the podcast, you know where to find it. Thanks for being a part of our Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Colin is next, listening to 1080 The Fam.